Welcome back to the Community Online Podcast. Remember, you can always find us on Sundays streaming live at communityonline.tv. We hope to see you there.
Well, hello, I'm Tammy. I'm joined with Ted and John. And I want to start off just by asking you guys, what are some of your favorite movies of all time?
Man, I got to go back to some of the classics. I like some of the corny movies. Top Gun 1, great movie. Top Gun 2, also great movie. Gladiator, Braveheart. I'm epic, big
corny. Showdown.
Okay. I'm in.
See,
I'm in.
Mine, very easily, it's Lord of the Rings. I'm all in Lord of the Rings, therefore.
Okay, knowing you, I kind of know that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I feel like me, sometimes it's a weird spectrum because if I'm flipping channels and I see Shawshank Redemption, I have to stop. But also if I see The Sound of Music, I have to stop.
Okay, yeah.
So a wide range.
Yeah, great.
But what I find interesting is that most of the all-time epic movies, they tend to have basically the same storyline. There's some hero in the movie who like finds themselves thrust in the middle of some kind of challenge that they probably don't feel prepared for. And they feel like they don't have what it takes, but then there's a mentor figure who comes into the movie and guides and gives encouragement and gives wisdom. Actually, in story writing, it's called the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, most of the epic movies that we love have that kind of through line in them. Like, think about, what are some of the most memorable hero mentor, like in the Lord of the Rings?
So true, like Gandalf is there, Dumbledore is there for Harry Potter, Tom Cruise is running.
Who's Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise kind of is the guy in the second one.
Yeah, but
it's a very complicated
one.
Story. It's hard to get into here.
Yeah. It's such highbrow writing.
Yeah, I know. I really like the classics.
But that's right. There's almost always this journey the hero goes on, a mentor who's there for him.
It can be such a powerful storytelling device, but it's not just powerful in fiction. It's also powerful in real life. Mm. And that's kind of what we've been talking about during this series as we've been talking about being disciple makers, because a disciple maker is that mentor figure in a hero's life.
Yeah.
If you remember, I think our definition of disciple making is it's someone who makes a relational investment in another person. Mm-hmm. By helping that person find their way back to God and grow in their relationship with Jesus. And it really is like a mentor to hero type relationship. But but one of the things I've noticed, I think a lot of people have a hard time seeing themselves as that type of mentor figure in other people's lives. Like, why do you think that is?
Yeah.
It feels like we always think of ourselves as the main character. And either we're a good main character or we're a struggling main character. But to get up to that sort of mentor level, it takes a certain confidence.
Yeah, we usually feel like the one who doesn't have what it takes.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. And I think, too, we feel like we have to have it all together or have to have all the answers in order to be that person. Mm. Like, I think Yoda, I can't remember his exact age, but it was in the hundreds of years. And at that point, you're like, all right, you probably know what you're doing, right?
Yeah. You kind of remind me of Yoda.
Oh, thank you. Because of my height? Is this a height joke?
No. Just because of your wisdom.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is true. I think a lot of us, I think, struggle to see ourselves as that mentor, is that disciple maker. But today, what I want us to talk about is that there is someone who absolutely believes that we have what it takes to be that disciple maker. And you may have heard of him. His name is Jesus. And so what I want to do today is just talk about how Jesus has equipped us to play that mentor role in a hero's life, how he's equipped us to be a disciple maker. Jesus has called you to be a disciple maker. And what we know is the Great Commission, Jesus' last words before he returned to the Father in heaven. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." We are called to be Jesus' disciples, but we're also called to be disciple makers. During this series, we've been focusing on one disciple-making relationship in particular, Paul with Timothy. And we've challenged you to be like Paul and identify your Timothy. Think of your Timothy as the hero in some kind of grand epic story God is writing in the world. And you are the mentor figure your Timothy needs. But just in case that intimidates you,
Let me assure you do have what it takes to meet your Timothy's needs. For your Timothy needs the same things that the Timothy in the Bible needed. For one, Timothy needed encouragement. If we read through the letters Paul wrote Timothy, it's obvious that Timothy faced challenges. Paul had sent him to lead a church in Ephesus that had some real problems. And at the start of Paul's second letter to Timothy, he writes, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." Now, we don't know what specific reason Timothy was crying over, but it's not hard to imagine that at times, Timothy didn't feel up to the job before him. And I think Paul, as his disciple maker, knew Timothy needed some encouragement. And so he writes, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." He encourages Timothy, reminding him that he has been called by God and equipped by the Holy Spirit for the task before him. There is power in the words of encouragement that we speak to other people. Timothy needed those words, and your Timothy needs them too. I will never forget a time a mentor figure in my life named Alan did this for me. I was a community pastor getting ready to plant a new location of our church in the city. And at times, I had no idea what I was doing. I was new to the city, I was new to church planning, and I'd never seen a woman do what I was trying to do. And honestly, I wasn't sure how it would be received. Well, we were at a gathering about this new church plant, and at one point, while everyone was just socializing, Alan came over to where I was sitting, and he knelt down on the floor in front of me, looked me directly in the eyes, and said, "You have everything you need to be able to do this." And I can't tell you how much those words meant to me. They infused me with courage. How about you? Do you remember a time when you felt discouraged and God used someone to tell you the exact words you needed to hear? How did that feel? What if God wants to use you to bring those words of encouragement to another person? God has given you His Spirit who can prompt you to recognize when your Timothy needs encouragement and give you the words to share. Do you have what it takes to provide the encouragement your Timothy needs? Of course you do. Now, not only did Timothy need encouragement, Timothy needed opportunities. We all like when we're given opportunities, right? I recently came across a story about Pixar, the animation studio, that I thought was interesting. Of course, Pixar has produced some of the most successful animated films of all time, such as Toy Story, Finding Nemo, and Inside Out. And they'd say that one of the keys to their success is that they invest in their employees by giving them opportunities to grow and expand their gifts. For example, their headquarters houses Pixar University, where any employee can take courses in filmmaking and other skills. They have accountants taking classes on how to craft a storyline or frame a scene. And when asked why they do this, the dean of Pixar University said, "Well, if you treat accountants like accountants, they're just going to act like accountants." In other words, Pixar expects its employees to do their jobs, but they also encourage their employees to grow and to learn and be equipped to develop and employ all of their gifts and abilities. Everyone, no matter their role, knows how to do the thing the company is most known for doing, making movies. You see, people need opportunities in order to grow. And Paul, as a disciple maker, knew that's what Timothy needed. After all, Timothy was young. There were experiences he hadn't had yet, and perhaps a trusted reputation he hadn't had the opportunity to build yet. And as his mentor, Paul knew this, and he leveraged his own experience and trusted reputation to open doors for Timothy, to give Timothy the ability to try out his gifts and his talents. For example, Paul often sent Timothy as his representative to various churches, like the church at Philippi. In the second chapter of the letter Paul sent to this church, he writes, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. Can you hear Paul opening doors in those words? He wants to give Timothy an opportunity to serve this church, but for Timothy to fulfill such a role, the Philippians would have to receive him. If some young guy shows up out of nowhere, the Philippians might be tempted to discount him. But with Paul vouching for him, chances are Timothy will be well received. Paul opened doors for Timothy. That is exactly what disciple makers do. Disciple makers often can open doors that the disciple might not be able to open on their own. And yet maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have the pull to open doors. After all, I'm no Paul or Pixar. But think about it for a moment. Where are the areas of your life where you could provide opportunities for your Timothy? Maybe it's a small group you lead or a ministry team you serve on where you could open doors for your Timothy to try new things. Maybe you could invite your Timothy into your home to experience how you are trying to live as a disciple of Jesus with your family. Or maybe you could invite your Timothy to shadow you at work or perhaps connect them to someone in your relational circle who has a job or career they're interested in. Grace Hightower, a philanthropist and author, puts it this way. Everyone has something to contribute to this world. It's just a matter of being given that opportunity to do so. Do you have what it takes to provide opportunities for your Timothy? Of course you do. What's the third thing Timothy needed? Well, Timothy needed instruction. In fact, the whole reason that we have two books in our Bible called 1 and 2 Timothy is because Timothy needed guidance about how to handle some sticky situations he found himself in with the church that Paul had sent him to lead. It seems there were some false teachers who had infiltrated the church and were leading people astray by teaching all sorts of conspiracy theories and myths. And if you read these letters, you'll find that they're full of instructions from Paul to Timothy about how to handle this situation. For example, in 1 Timothy 4, Paul writes, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Timothy needed instruction on how to deal with the false teachers. And Paul tells him, hey, keep reading, keep preaching, keep teaching the truths of Scripture to your people, but watch your own doctrine closely to make sure you don't come under the influence of the false teachers. You see, disciple makers offer instruction in matters of faith, helping their Timothys grow in their connections with God, the church, and the world. You have wisdom and guidance to offer your Timothy, not because you're an expert, but because you're on a journey as a disciple of Jesus yourself. You've learned some things along the way, haven't you? You've made some mistakes along the way, haven't you? You've gained some wisdom along the way, haven't you? Your role as a disciple maker is not to dictate to your Timothy everything they should do. Remember, they too are disciples of Jesus who need to hear from God. However, all disciples need some instruction and guidance along the way about the next steps they should take, and you can share from your experience to meet that need for your Timothy. It's one of the reasons we are challenging you to facilitate a U+ discipleship conversation. Through these U+ resources, we have set you and your Timothy up to have a meaningful, purposeful conversation where your Timothy can walk away with clarity about their next steps on their spiritual journey. It is all right there for you to take advantage of. Do you have what it takes to provide the instruction your Timothy needs? Of course you do. Friends, you have what it takes to meet your Timothy's needs. You can be the mentor in someone's hero story.
And Tammy, thank you so much for that word. That was so, so helpful. I think the one that really jumps out to me the most is the first one, that need for encouragement. Because I know that in my life, encouragement played such a huge role in me stepping into the things that I felt like God was calling me to step into.
Okay.
Whether that was ministry or whether that was in life, that person who came at just the right time to offer some encouragement really, really helped me grow and developed. And often I think of encouragement as like this incredible gift that we can give to other people. And we have like this limitless supply.
Yeah.
Like we have like this unlimited budget of encouragement that we can dole out to the people around us.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we're kind of stingy with it.
Yeah.
And we just don't use it that much.
Can you think of an example of like when someone spoke that to you or when you had the opportunity recently to speak that to someone?
Yeah, absolutely. I try to encourage like our team here at church as much as possible.
Yeah.
And it's not just empty praise. I mean, it's easy when you're surrounded by such wonderful people. But
shucks.
Yeah, not you specifically, Tammy. Okay. Sorry. Just kidding. Of course you, Tammy. But I think of like Serene Musselman, who's on our staff in Downers Grove. And you guys both know Serene.
Yeah,
she's amazing. She spoke recently and did the message and just did an incredible job. And I just felt like it was such an honor to specifically say, Serene, you did such a good job with this and with this and with this and how you spoke about that. It's just so, so good and really impacted me.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful tool because it costs us nothing, but it is so valuable to the person we give it to.
Yeah. And when you're intentional about it, you see that person actually, I think in the talk I said, infused with courage.
Yeah,
like you see it just
their eyes light up, their shoulders open up. It's like their whole body is being filled up with this incredible gift.
Yeah, and then it just feels fun to get to,
it's great.
Be that in someone else's life.
It's awesome. I mean, it'd be pretty fun to walk around with an unlimited budget and just handing people $100 bills.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty fun, right?
Yeah, right. You'd
be like,
right.
I'm never going to have less. Here you go.
Yeah.
Help yourself, right?
Yeah.
Now, we get to do that with our words through encouragement, and it's such a helpful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, walking through your points, even the opportunities, I think I'm just struck that for most of us, we don't think we have opportunities to give, but they're simple, kind of like encouragement. Mm. There's so many more that you have than you can even think of, just opportunity to bring them along with you, opportunity to make a connection, a handshake. I'm amazed even like simple text message, you know, where you send the, hey, so-and-so, have you met so-and-so? Think you guys would really love to have a conversation here about this. And so, yeah, just like this longing to have more opportunities and to have someone give them.
And I think sometimes we don't even realize that the opportunities, they don't have to be these big things. Because I think about in my life, you know, especially with some of the people that were that mentor figure to me, sometimes it was just being invited into their family.
Yeah.
And into the things their family were doing. And you just learn by watching or, you know, experiencing what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think as we talk about this, you know, we all have what it takes to be that mentor figure in someone else's life. And just in case anyone listening still wonders whether or not it's actually worth it, I thought I'd share with you guys a story about an important mentor in my life. Her name is Laura, and I actually met her when I was about, I think it was about 19 years old. I was in college, and I went to this it was kind of a big ministry conference, and I met Laura, and up to the time that I met her, I had never met a woman who was doing ministry vocationally. Like, I had no idea that that was even something I could consider at that point in my life. And I met her at this conference, and I told her about how much I just loved like serving in the church and, you know, and leading and doing this kind of stuff. And the first day that I met her at lunch, she invited me. I lived in Ohio, and she was a minister in Missouri. She invited me to come spend a week tagging along with her just
That's
to see
amazing.
The very first day I met her. I mean, what kind of guts did that take?
That's pretty awesome.
And so actually a month later, there I am in her office. And I actually ended up following around every year for a week until when I graduated, I went and did a year-long internship with her.
That's amazing.
And all along the way, I mean, she just spoke into my life, encouraged my gifts. Like, she gave me opportunities to actually lead in her job, you know, the stuff that she was doing when I was her intern. I honestly feel like I can say that I would not be doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for her.
Yeah.
But what I also want to share with you guys is about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I went to visit her, and she's now retired. She lives out on a farm and raises like goats and cows, and yeah. I do not plan on apprenticing.
I love how you don't even know what these animals are. You're yeah. like, I don't know, they had 4 legs.
Yeah, so we're,
some kind
we're
of
very,
bear or fur,
very
I'm not sure.
different in that respect.
Yeah.
When she came and picked me up from the airport, this is one of the most meaningful things anyone's ever said to me. So she's driving me to her house, and she said, you know, when I told my friends and explained who you were and like that you were coming, she said, what I tell them is one of the greatest joys in my life is to watch you exceed what I have ever did in ministry.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So
you know,
cool. Yeah.
And,
that's amazing.
You know, and I don't share that because, you know, we all know I'm not all that, okay? but just, you know, like, it meant so much to me to hear her say that, but also to watch her joy
yeah.
in knowing, like, yeah. like what she poured into my life. And you know, and it's 30 years later, and she still prays for me every Wednesday morning.
That's awesome.
Like, I know
yeah.
that. And yeah. so that's...
Such a legacy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Such a powerful
that's
investment.
Amazing.
That is the kind of legacy that we're talking about, mm-hmm. that we all have the opportunity to play that role.
Yeah. yeah.
In
yeah,
someone else's really life. So
cool.
Well, I wonder if we should maybe wrap this up by just praying together.
Mm. Perfect.
And so, Ted, Ashley, maybe I could ask you, why don't you pray for people that already know who their Timothy is, why don't you pray for them that they would just have an opportunity this week to meet a need
awesome.
In their Timothy's
yeah.
life, that the Spirit would just prompt them and
absolutely.
And lead them to that. And John, could I ask you to pray for those that maybe don't know who their Timothy is or still have been a little hesitant
yeah.
to jump into, you know, seeing themselves
that'd
and engaging,
great.
Being a disciple maker, and maybe just pray for them this week and that God will draw them to someone.
Perfect.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's
I'll
pray.
Start. Yeah. Father, we thank you for just these incredible words of encouragement today to be reminded that you have called each of us to this great, powerful work, but you've also equipped us to do it. And so, Lord, I pray specifically for those who are watching this here today, and they have someone in mind, someone maybe that they're already in relationship with and maybe already moving in some of these directions, Lord. And I just ask you'd give them real boldness in their relationship, a real sensitivity and awareness and openness to that other person. And specifically, Lord, I pray that they would be the kind of mentor that would first be a servant. And so, God, would you open their eyes into the ways in which they could support, come alongside, and serve this person that they're in relationship with in a real and tangible way that would be meaningful and would be a true help. And so, Father, give them that servant heart and the eyes to see the need.
Mm. And, Lord, for those who have not yet identified a Timothy but who are maybe feeling that stirring, would you just surprise them? This week, would you surprise them with a clarity? Maybe it's even right now, Lord. Someone's coming to mind. There is somebody that you need them to invest in, that you need them to be a disciple maker for. But Lord, could there even just be unexpected opportunities this week? Maybe someone approaches them and asks for an opportunity and you nudge them to say, this is it. This is your Timothy. Lean in, invest in this person. Lord, come give us clarity and Spirit move through these relationships to create reverberating legacies like the one that Tammy is ministering out of right now in our midst, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Our mission is to help you find your way back to God. And by listening today, you've already taken your first step. And we'd love to help you take a next step in your relationship with God, the church, and the world. It's how we're all embracing the flourishing life that Jesus talks about, a life we call U+. Visit communitychristian.org to take a next step, learn more, give generously, and plan your visit. We hope to see you on a Sunday soon.